ever, stared at a to-do list, and it just feels heavy, almost like it's judging you. Maybe you've even been told, oh, you're just lazy, or you're not trying hard enough. But inside, you feel like you are trying. It's just something's not connecting.
Yeah, that gap between wanting to do something and actually doing it, it's a really common frustration.
Exactly. So today we're diving into that very gap. We want to explore the real differences between ADHD and what gets labeled often unfairly as
Yeah.
laziness.
We are, and we're drawing on insights from Davenport Psychology to sort of get past those surface judgments. We'll look at ADHD itself, what it actually is,
Okay.
the symptoms, potential causes, and crucially, how it differs from laziness when you look at things like motivation or time management, consistency,
Yeah.
that kind of stuff.
So our mission here is really to bring some clarity, for anyone maybe struggling with this distinction themselves, or perhaps trying to understand someone else who is, or even if you're just curious about how our brains tick.
Makes sense.
So let's start there. ADHD, what is it fundamentally?
Okay, so at its core, ADHD is classified as a neurodevelopmental disorder. Big term, but it basically means there are differences in how the brain develops and functions.
Differences in wiring, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. Especially in the parts responsible for what we call executive functions. Think of that as the brain's CEO or management system.
Okay, the manager, what does it manage?
Things like planning ahead, getting organized, sustaining focus, managing your time effectively, those sorts of higher level skills.
Got it.
And importantly, it's generally seen as a lifelong condition, not something you just, grow out of typically.
That's a key point. Because we often think of it as a childhood thing, right? But the Davenport psychology info highlights it can definitely persist into adulthood.
Absolutely. And it can even be diagnosed for the first time in adulthood.
Which might resonate if you've always felt you struggled with focus or getting things done, even if no one ever put a label on it before.
Precisely. It can offer a new perspective on long-standing challenges.
So, how does ADHD actually show up? What are the signs?
Well, the symptoms usually fall into three main buckets: inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity.
Okay, let's break those down. Inattention. That sounds like just spacing out.
It's more than that, yeah. It's often a persistent pattern. So things like making seemingly careless mistakes because you're missing details, really struggling to keep tasks and belongings organized, difficulty actually finishing tasks you start, getting easily distracted by, well, almost anything sometimes.
Right. Shiny object syndrome, but dialed up.
You could say that. And just general forgetfulness in daily activities, appointments, chores, returning calls.
Okay, so it's a broader difficulty with managing attention, not just boredom. What about hyperactivity? I picture kids bouncing off walls.
It can look like that in kids, sure, but in adults, it might be more subtle, like an internal feeling of restlessness, you
I
know?
think you can't sit still comfortably.
Exactly. Or fidgeting, constantly tapping feet, clicking pens, difficulty staying quiet when it's expected, sometimes talking excessively. It's often described as feeling like you have a motor inside that's always running.
An internal buzz.
Okay.
And the third one was impulsivity.
Yeah, impulsivity. This is about acting quickly without fully thinking things through.
Like blurting things out.
That's one example. Interrupting others, having real trouble waiting your turn, maybe making hasty decisions without weighing the consequences.
Okay, that paints a clearer picture. It's quite a range of experiences. What about the why? What causes ADHD? Is it like one thing?
Not usually, no. The current understanding, based on sources like Davenport Psychology, points towards a mix of factors. Genetics play a big role.
So it runs in families.
Often, yes. If you have a family history of ADHD, the likelihood goes up. But it's not just genes. Environmental factors are also being looked at.
Such as.
Things like exposure to certain toxins, lead, for example, during pregnancy or early childhood might increase risk. It seems to be a complex interaction, not just one single cause we can point to.
Right, which really emphasizes the biological underpinnings. It's not just behavior. So let's get to the heart of it then. How is this different from just being lazy? Because let's be honest, from the outside, someone struggling to start a project, it can look similar.
That is the absolute critical distinction. And you're right, the outward behavior, procrastination, unfinished tasks might look the same superficially, but the why underneath is completely different.
Okay, how so? Let's start with motivation.
Right, motivation. Here's the interesting thing. People with ADHD often really want to do the task. They can have a strong desire to be productive, to achieve things.
So the intention is there.
Often, yes. But the executive function challenges the difficulties with planning, initiating, staying focused. they create massive hurdles. It's like the brain's wiring makes it incredibly hard to engage and sustain the effort needed, even when they want to.
So it's not a lack of will necessarily, but a lack of functional ability in that moment.
That's a good way to put it. Think about baking that cake again. You have the desire, the recipe, the ingredients. But if you struggle to sequence the steps, stay focused while mixing, maybe get distracted halfway through,
the cake doesn't happen. Or it's a disaster.
Right. Whereas laziness, as we typically understand it, is more about a lack of desire or unwillingness to exert effort. The capacity is assumed to be there, but the choice is made not to use it.
Okay. That distinction between desire and capacity is really key. What about time management? That's another big one.
It's a huge one. Time management is often seriously impaired by ADHD. And again, it's not just, you know, being a bit bad at estimating how long things take.
It's more fundamental.
Yes. It involves persistent difficulty with planning tasks out, prioritizing what needs doing first, and even just having an accurate internal sense of time passing what some call time blindness.
Time blindness. Interesting.
Yeah, they might consistently underestimate how long tasks will take, which leads to taking on too much, feeling constantly rushed, overwhelmed.
And then maybe avoiding the task altogether because it just feels impossible.
Exactly. It becomes a cycle. Procrastination isn't necessarily the goal. It's often a consequence of the overwhelm caused by poor time perception and planning difficulties.
So the procrastination isn't just, I don't feel like it, but I literally can't figure out how to start or how long this will take.
It can often feel that way, yes. The executive functions needed for that planning and sequencing are the issue. Laziness, again, is usually framed as a conscious choice to delay, maybe preferring something else, or just not feeling motivated.
Got it. And the Davenport psychology material also mentioned consistency, or rather, inconsistency. How does that play in?
Yes. This is a really telling difference. People with ADHD are often marked by significant inconsistency.
How do you mean?
They might have periods where they can focus intensely, sometimes called hyperfocus. They can be incredibly productive, absorbed in something for hours.
Oh, right. I've heard of that. Like a superpower, almost.
It can feel like that sometimes, but it's often unpredictable. And those periods can be followed by times where initiating even simple routine tasks feels utterly impossible. This up and down pattern can be really baffling.
Baffling for them and for people around them, I imagine.
Absolutely. It's not a stable level of functioning. It fluctuates, reflecting those variable executive function capabilities. Laziness, by contrast, is usually seen as a more consistent pattern.
More of a steady state of low motivation or avoidance.
Generally, yes. It's presented as a more predictable reluctance to engage, rather than these sometimes dramatic shifts in ability and focus you see with ADHD.
This is really clarifying. It helps map out the different internal experiences.
Yeah.
So for listeners who might be hearing this and thinking, some of that sounds familiar, what are some practical things they could try, even without a formal diagnosis?
Yeah, definitely. Davenport psychology suggests some really useful strategies. One big one is creating structure through routine.
Like a set daily schedule.
Pretty much. Having predictable times for waking up, working, meals, winding down. It creates an external framework.
How does that help?
Well, it can help with organization, remembering things, managing time better. It basically provides external support for those internal executive functions that might be struggling.
Like scaffolding for the brain. Makes sense. What else?
Visual aids are often really powerful. Things like planners, digital or paper calendars, sticky notes, whiteboards.
Making things visible.
Exactly. It helps get things out of your head and into a format you can see and track. Good for reminders, deadlines, appointments. It combats that out of sight, out of mind tendency.
Yeah, I can see that. What about those huge tasks that just feel paralyzing?
The overwhelm. Breaking tasks down is key there.
Smaller chunks.
Tiny chunks, even.
Yeah.
If a big project feels impossible, break it into the smallest possible first step, then the next. It makes it feel less daunting, easier to initiate, and you build momentum. Helps cut down on that procrastination driven by overwhelm.
That sounds very actionable. Bite-sized pieces. Good advice for anyone, really.
It really is. And finally, seeking support.
From who?
Friends, family, if they're understanding, but also healthcare professionals. And support groups can be amazing.
Connecting with others who get it.
Exactly. Sharing experiences, learning coping strategies for people who are navigating similar challenges. It reduces isolation and can be incredibly validating.
So wrapping this up, it feels like the core message is ADHD and laziness might sometimes look similar on the surface, but underneath, they're fundamentally different beasts.
Absolutely. One is a neurodevelopmental condition impacting the brain's management system, those executive functions. The other, laziness, is generally understood as a choice related to motivation or effort.
And understanding that difference is crucial, isn't it, to avoid mislabeling, guilt, shame.
Yes, and to ensure people get the right kind of help if they need it. Misunderstanding ADHD as a character flaw prevents access to effective strategies and support.
So if this conversation sparks something, if it resonates deeply with your experience, considering a professional evaluation could be a really important step towards understanding yourself better.
Definitely. Getting clarity can be empowering.
And it's worth repeating. With the right support, the right tools, and self-understanding, people with ADHD can absolutely manage their challenges and thrive.
They really can. They often have incredible strengths, too. Creativity, energy, unique perspectives. It's about finding ways to navigate the challenges and leverage the strengths.
So a final thought for everyone listening. Maybe take a moment to reflect on your own relationship with motivation, with tasks, with focus. Does understanding a bit more about executive function, perhaps, offer a new way to think about your own patterns or maybe the patterns of someone you care about?
It's definitely food for thought.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.